Hi, I'm Samantha, a past guest on CJAM's HandyLink. You're listening to HandyLink on CJAM 99.1 FM, Windsor, Detroit.
Welcome to HandyLink, sponsored by the Italian-Canadian Handy Capable Association. I'm your host, Cam Wells. In this segment of our show, I'll be chatting with Stephanie Kirkland from Vocal Eye Descriptive Arts. Tell me a little bit about Vocal Eye.
Vocal Eye is a nonprofit society, and we describe live theater, arts, and cultural events for people who have vision loss. And we're describing right now in Vancouver, Richmond, and Surrey. And we've described probably an average of 24 productions and events a year, maybe closer to 30. Yeah.
So what was the inspiration behind the work?
The program was launched in 2009 by Kickstart Disability Arts and Culture, and there was no live description in Canada at that time, and it was the initiative of the artistic and executive directors at the time, Rena Fraticelli and Jeff McMurtry, and they brought in a describer from the United States to train a group of people in Vancouver, and I was part of that initial training. And from there, they applied for more funding to get the equipment that was needed to do the description. And they were able to describe the first show. I think it was the very first show in Canada described for the public. And that was at the Vancouver Playhouse Theatre Company. And the production was The Miracle Worker. And that was in the fall of 2009. So from there, they received more funding, were able to describe shows for the Vancouver Cultural Olympics in 2010. And then in the fall of 2010, launched a season of 15 performances, described productions in Vancouver, which was pretty exciting. So, and I was part of that that launch as a describer.
So you mentioned special equipment. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
The equipment we use is it's very portable and basic battery-operated receivers that and a transmitter that we use that broadcasts through an FM signal. So our describer is located in the theater, sometimes right in the audience, in which case we use what's called a masked microphone, so it covers the describer's mouth, and there's a microphone in it, and the transmitter transmits that dedicated FM signal to the receivers. And the patrons have that receiver, and we supply a single earpiece that they can use to listen, or they can bring their own earbuds or headphones. But the signal is mono. It just comes through one side. So they're hearing the describer speak in one ear, and then they have the other ear free, you know, for the show, to hear the show and the music and everything.
So do you work in partnership with any organizations within the community?
Our major partners are the theater companies themselves. We have our major theater partner is the Arts Club Theater. We describe two stages for them. We probably describe between 10 and 12 performances, productions for them a year. And then we also have a theater partner in Surrey Arts Center, Richmond Gateway, Carousel Theater for Young People. So we describe productions for families there. And we've got festival partners. The Push Festival is one of our partners. We're in conversation with the Fringe Festival this year to find out how they can make the festival more accessible. We've just added Theater Under the Stars, and we'll be describing an outdoor musical this summer and next month. And so those are our major partners in the community. And
so are there any challenges with this work of description?
Well, the major challenge is getting the word out to people who have vision loss that we exist and that these performances are available to them. And in addition to the live description, we found that, you know, we also need to go beyond description in making performances accessible. We realized there were other barriers to people's participation and attendance. You know, the venue location, for instance, how difficult it can be to get to some of these theaters when you're, especially if you're traveling alone with your guide dog. And we do have a number of patrons that are independent and want to come to the theater on their own. And it's you know, increasing options for people who do want to attend on their own. So we came up with a Theater Buddy program where we have trained volunteers, people who've been trained in basic sighted guiding techniques, who can meet people an hour before the show begins at a designated meetup location and then escort them to the theater and assist them with their tickets and equipment and seating and then escort them back to the location after the show. So we implemented that program when we started describing in more theaters on Granville Island, which is a very tricky location for people to get to. And then ticket price, of course, is another barrier, especially for people who may be on fixed incomes. So we're working with our theater partners, and then also we're with donations as well. We were lucky to receive a few years ago an unexpected donation from the Peter and Melody Anderson Foundation Fund, which allowed us to offer our first ticket rebate program. So we were able to then give people some money back after they purchased their ticket. And that encouraged people also to come to shows that they may not have heard of, things that are a bit more experimental, you know, Canadian theater, Canadian plays, and and this was proved quite successful. So again, we're trying to raise funds to expand that program and to get the word out to more and more people. So those are the major challenges that we're facing, getting the word out and getting enough funds so that we can make the tickets affordable for people.
So to look at the converse side of things, in your time with Vocaleye, is there any one success that stood out for you?
Oh my goodness, there have been we've a number of milestones we've reached. Most recently, we were able to sell out a performance, which that was a first. So that was The Lion King and our partners at Broadway Across Canada. This is probably the biggest show we've ever described at the Queen Elizabeth Theatre. And we sold out all of our equipment, and that was a first for us. So that was a major milestone for us. And later this month, we'll be celebrating our 100th Describe performance. So we're very excited about that, and that will be Les Miserables at the Arts Club. And so it's very fitting that we're celebrating that performance at the Arts Club. They've been our long-standing partners for 5 years now. So we're very excited about that, to celebrate that. And we're also in the process of working on a technique to describe fireworks. We're very excited about that. We were just able to test our technique, and we hope to develop that and get that offered to the public and to all of our members for next year's fireworks season. And we're describing the Pride Parade. This will be the first time the Vancouver Pride Parade will be described for people who have vision loss, and we're just so excited about that. And that's on August 2nd. So there's a big long list of things that we can be proud of, and we're excited about them.
Like to thank you for taking the time out to do this, but if you can stay on the line for a sec, that'd be great.
Sure, thank you.
Fascinating concept, folks. What we're looking at here is essentially described video for live theater, making plays more accessible to an audience with disabilities. And this is how it should be. incorporating an existing premise into new and interesting ways, just being on the cutting edge of providing equal opportunities. It's groups like Vocal Eye that are really coming up with new and innovative solutions. They're asking themselves, this is what exists. How can we make that work with what we want to do? That's where partnerships in the disability community are especially important. Groups might have different mandates, but what it comes down to, they really have just one and only one goal between all of them: to improve the quality of life for individuals with disabilities. They might take different roads to get there, but that's not to say they can't learn from each other's ideas, they can't grow from the sharing. Fact is, there is strength in numbers, and we as a community should work together to ask ourselves, what opportunity can we create today? How can we make sure these principles that we've established on paper about equality really do match, that intention and application really do match up? That if we say we're going to have a fully accessible program, we don't stop with saying, oh, we have a wheelchair ramp, ain't we great? We take into consideration the needs of those with mobility issues, yes, but also those vision issues, hearing issues, learning issues. We make it as accessible as it can be. And more people are asking the question, what does accessibility truly mean? How can we be fully accessible? And how can we make sure that these principles don't fall by the wayside? It's easy to say that in 10 years we're going to be fully accessible. It's a matter of taking the steps day by day, making sure progress is truly being made. HandyLink will be right back after these commercial messages, so stay tuned.
Hiatus House is a social service agency offering confidential intervention for families experiencing domestic violence, including the Crisis Intervention Program, Residential Program, Transitional and Housing Support Program, Crossroads Program, Fresh Start Men's Program, Fresh Start Women's Program City, Fresh Start Women's Program Country, in the Hiatus House school-based program. If you are interested or for more information, please contact us. Call us at 519-252-7781 or visit our website at www.hiatushouse.com or come to our location at 250 Lewis Avenue, Windsor. Contact Hiatus House. Get safe. Get help.
Welcome back to HandyLink, sponsored by the Italian-Canadian Handicapable Association. I'm your host, Cam Wells. Earlier in our show, we heard from Stephanie Kirkland from Vocal Eye. In this segment of our show, we'll hear from Jenna Lambert. She'll be telling us all about PUSH with Entangled Arts. So tell me a little bit about the PUSH with Entangled Arts.
Certainly. But I've sort of been telling people, because it is a little bit complicated and I'm sort of just figuring out how it all works, is that Toronto's arts and cultural sector has, through Tangled Arts, hired a production company from New York called Ping and Chong. And Ping and Sarah Zass have written a script around the lives of six former and current para athletes. And so PUSH is sort of all of their stories and how it all works together. And I'm fortunate enough to be one of the athletes that was chosen to be part of the story.
So can you tell me a little bit about Tangled Arts for those who aren't as familiar?
Certainly. So Tangled Art and Disability is just sort of the umbrella organization that has started this initiative, has reached out in association with Panamania and the Para Pan Am Games. And so they're just sort of the umbrella organization that advocates for persons with disabilities and inclusion in sort of the art world, and in culture in Toronto.
So, in your time with Tangled Arts, have you seen any challenges with their work?
Any challenges so far?
Yes.
No, none at all. We've been having a really great time. It's been a lot of fun, and they're a great team of Ping and Sarah who are with, obviously, with Ping and Chong, and Katie McMillan, who I've had most of my dealings with. They're fantastic, and it's been a really neat project. I've never been a part of anything like this before, but to get to work with other athletes and to be able to tell our story in this very creative, very imaginative, sort of really unique way is very cool.
So, to look at the converse side of things, in your time so far working on this project, has there been any success that stands out for you?
Any which, sorry?
Success.
Successes?
Yes.
Well, I would say, like, to this point, it's just been really neat. We had a really a great reading with some Ryerson students, and it was the first time that we had come together, the cast had come together in about 6 months, and we did a reading sort of just off the cuff, and it was really awesome. We all did our very best, obviously, and we're athletes, so we're used to performing in front of lots of people, but not in this capacity. But as a cast, we really pulled together really quickly, and we're able to just sort of get back into the groove and have a great sort of energy to bring to the table, and that was a huge success from my perspective, to be able to pull something like that together and to do it, I think well from the reviews and the response that we received.
So, in terms of the response, how has the community responded to PUSH and the work of Tangled Arts?
Certainly. From what I've heard, it's become quite the popular thing. I mean, we're certainly getting the word out there with our Facebook page and with Twitter and with all of those different media avenues. But some of the nights are already sold out, which a month in advance, that's pretty fantastic. So the community has definitely embraced us. And I mean, Ryerson wanting us to come in and speak to and perform for their students, that's something amazing in itself. So I think that the response has been really, really great from the community.
So if you could send any one message about the need for inclusion in the arts, what would you say?
Well, I would just say, you know, in terms of inclusion, right, if someone is disabled in a way that means they're unable to participate for some reason, and if we can sort of abolish those barriers and abolish those physical barriers, in this case for persons with physical disabilities, then there's no reason why. I mean, I'm an athlete, I'm not a performer, but I'm so enjoying this, my time in the arts here, and there's no reason why more people with disabilities shouldn't be able to take part and to sort of find their niche, whether that be, you know, in this case with a pair of Pan Am, athletics or arts or whatever. If we take away sort of the stigma from disability and we just say, you know, we're all people and we're all working hard and we're all doing our thing, I think that's the way we should look at it.
So, what are the next steps for the project?
For this project?
Yes.
Our next are, truthfully, lots more research. We have a couple of weeks of really intense rehearsal periods, and then get into rehearsal to set us up there, and then the performance will run every night of the games, and then twice on Wednesday. There's a matinee as well on the Wednesday, so that's the 11th to the 15th of August.
So, do you believe you'll become involved with more projects in the arts as you go along?
Do I think I will be? I have no idea. Truthfully, this one just sort of landed in my lap a little bit. My coach, Vicki Keith, I'm a swimmer, so my coach, Vicki Keith, heard about this opportunity. She knew I wasn't taking part in this particular Para Pan Am game. And she was like, Jenna, I think this is something you could really excel at. You should look into it. So I went in and I was interviewed, and my story was one that intrigued them, and they thought I'd be a good fit. So whether or not I will do more projects, I mean, if the opportunity came along, it would be a lot of fun. We're having a great time, but I couldn't say for sure at this point.
I'd like to thank you for taking the time out to do this, but if you can stay on the line for a sec, that'd be great.
Oh, yeah, no problem.
I've always maintained that disabilities in theater presents an interesting challenge. For someone who doesn't have a disability, to portray someone who does can be tricky. For someone who does have a disability, to portray an able-bodied person can also be a challenge. But to use real people, sharing real stories, I think that's absolutely the right approach. Puts a very human, very meaningful face on what the situation really is. And using theater as an outlet to reach the community about disability issues, about the strength that these athletes have, about the gifts they can share with the world. It's a very, if you will, user-friendly way. Because the truth of the matter is, if you're going to reach an audience about disability life, it has to be presented in a way that they can understand. And it doesn't hurt if that way happens to be presented in an enjoyable medium. Truth is, once a person recognizes the strength and the talent of the disabled community, that's not a door that can be shut again. Once you recognize these individuals have strengths, hopes, dreams, yes, even great stories to share, you come to respect more and more the contributions they can make to society, the gifts they have. For these athletes, sharing their stories must have come as an incredible opportunity just to be counted as people of strength, not just as individuals with disabilities out there doing what they love to do, but just as great athletes. If you're someone with a story of disability life, write HandyLink 4, HandyLink, numeral 4, at gmail.com. Always love to hear from you folks at home. But it's true that disabilities in theater should be accessible to everyone. You don't want to limit yourself just to saying, I want to open the eyes of the able-bodied community, or I want to give hope to those with disabilities. It's a matter of reaching everyone. It's a matter of giving the information, the story, to the audience, and seeing if they understand, if they're receptive, and if their own views on equality and accessibility are called into question. Sometimes a person will live with stereotypes, will live with prejudices, simply because nobody's ever bothered to tell them any different, because they haven't seen through the eyes of a person with a disability. And in theater, that's exactly what you get to do. You get to watch a person's story unfold before you. You get to see the story of how they got from A to B, what the challenges were, what the successes are, what lives were impacted along the way, what methods they used. In theater, in documentaries, even in books, stories of any kind, you get a complete picture. You see a person with a disability, their journey, their growth. And then you ask yourself, where's my story? What is my moment of growth? Is it that I am someone with a disability who's finding new strength or new hope? Or is it that I'm an able-bodied member of the community who wants to know more, who wants to grow in their own wisdom, and maybe even to be that somebody who stands beside a person with a disability, says, I'm going to be someone who's there for you, someone who encourages you to reach your best. We all need that, you know, whether we have a disability or not. We all need someone in our lives just to say, I believe in you, and I recognize your strength. And for Jenna, being asked to do this might have been a step outside what she's accustomed to. But from the sounds of her story, she's enjoyed it such that I truly hope she gets the opportunity to do this again. I truly hope that this step forward in her journey as a person with a disability becomes something so enriching in her life. She said she can now look and say that I've managed to impact things in one facet of life, and now I'm being asked to impact things in yet another. How can this help me grow in my strength? Who can this benefit? What can speaking honestly about disability life really do? Not just to better me as a person, but to better society, to better the world. I mean, a person with a disability who gets it, who understands their own strength, and the strength that comes from the support around them. The major trap, the major pitfall is just to keep it to yourself. Just to say, I have this wisdom, I have this knowledge, but that's good for me. No, it should be good for everybody. It should be shared. And that is the great thing that she has done. She has taken a step in a very public way to give these individuals a chance to really consider, is her story just one of athletic ability? Or is it one of personal growth? Trying something new, just seeing what skills she has that she hasn't necessarily tapped into, but finding even greater strength in these newfound abilities. That's what disability life is all about. It's about thinking beyond what you know. It's about looking at how change can be made. Asking ourselves, how can this skill, this talent, even this device, be expanded for even better use? What can we do to make sure that this is at its best? That my range of abilities are really being tapped into? That what I have to say is really being counted in a way that it should be? And that is what both guests were talking about today. Allowing a message really to be heard. Through theater and through inclusion, this is how progress is made. Not by ranting and raving, our voices heard, but simply the truth of the world. And that truth is that individuals with disabilities have great gifts to contribute. This has been HandyLink. I'm your host, Cam Wells, reminding you we're all equal. So get on out there and have yourselves a good one. You've earned it, folks, and we'll see you next week.